You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Hello, friends. Lee Brown here. Welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, or actually welcome for the first time if you've just stumbled on the show. And maybe you came here because today's guest is Eric Martell. He is one of our leaders in the real estate space when it comes to turnkey investing. You're going to get to hear some of his backstory and how he bought his first apartment building at the age of 18. So yes, I totally feel like a slack or two, but that's why you're here, so you can learn a few things yourself and grab your piece of the American dream. So tune in, enjoy the conversation, and we'll see you on the other side. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your relationship to real estate and what your career path has looked like. Give us a little bit of insights on Eric.
Yeah. So basically, I bought my first apartment building when I was 18 years old, 8-unit apartment building. And I had met this real estate investor that was, he was just a normal teacher, community college teacher. And somehow he managed to build a 36-unit apartment building. And so I knew at that point that I wanted to learn about from him. I wanted him to mentor me. And then he basically guided me through the process. I did all the work, obviously. That's the only way to learn. But at least he kind of like told me along the way, to said, no, keep going. You're going to get it. Keep going. But it was a long journey until I found a building, because obviously at 18, I had no money. And so I managed to find a building where I could get some kind of mortgage from a bank. I actually got it from a credit union, and then get also a seller, like what we call vendor take back or a seller financing, to carry the rest of the mortgage. And I still remember that day when I wrote the check for the application form for the credit union, and I had like 100 or 200 bucks in the bank, and I was writing a check for like half of that. It was like, okay, this better work.
All right, and so you got to tell me a little bit more about this story, because an 18-year-old,
yeah,
able to get somebody to even entertain the idea of a seller carry or anything along those lines, how did you even approach that conversation, and what did you have to prove to them to sell this idea that you could manage anything? Because at 18, human brain's not even finished yet.
Hey, wait a minute. One was pretty close.
I think the male brain finishes at
23. Oh, boy.
The female brain finishes at 23. It's actually biology.
Yeah, I don't think it's finished yet. But
well, none of us should ever be done growing, right?
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, I was driven. A very driven individual. And so I knew that I wanted to get this done. And I worked with a realtor. I mean, at one point, I really had to convince the realtor that keep going, give me more. And the realtor was really trying to convince me that what I was looking for didn't exist. And then I found a couple that existed that met my number, my criteria. And then he eventually talked to the seller and said, would you be interested in it? It was not a very difficult conversation. And even after the seller, Carrie, it was still cash flowing. So for his perspective, I mean, the seller was happy to get rid of this asset. I mean, he was self-managing this. And he was old.
Well,
and
explains why he wanted to get rid of it then.
Yeah, he wanted to move on. It was just like, okay, this is enough. He was still maintaining it and all that. So, yeah.
So were you in college at the time? Was this a house? This was an apartment building where you were attending school?
It was close enough. My girlfriend at the time was living in that other town, and they were real estate. They were all involved in real estate. The man that the community college teacher was also a friend of theirs. And I got introduced to all that. And I was just like, okay, well, this is, I have to absorb this.
So basically you should date the right people too. This is not an angle we typically talk about in real estate, but if you date the right people, you might get access to it.
Well, that's right. That helps. But to me, that was my rich dad, poor dad moment, because my parents were, I mean, they were great parents and all of that, but they were 9-to-5 people and they didn't have the information and they didn't have the volition to do something different, like to just get out of their shell and do something. I mean, with something that blows my mind, but there are people like that. There are a lot of people like that.
And so, anybody listening or watching, if you're not familiar with it, what Eric just referenced there is the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book by Robert Kiyosaki, which is foundational to investing. And it explains very well the mindset shift that's required to go into investing, because there's definitely a risk reward ratio. And by the way, if you have kids at home, especially middle and high schoolers, there is an amazing product from Robert Kiyosaki called the Cash Flow Game. And I'm not getting paid to tell y'all about this. We play it as a family because I want my kids to understand that there's a cost to Starbucks and there's a cost to the career path that you take, and it costs money and risk to get into real estate. So for example, you wiped out your bank account to make that application. Do you still own that 8-unit building today?
Oh, no. I sold it actually because I was in Montreal then. And then I had moved to, after graduation, I became an actuary. And then I moved to Toronto, got a job. And then because I could, it was hard to continue on that path to find another building that would be cash flowing and all of that. I mean, I had to look at like 400 different properties in order to find the one that met my criteria. And that gave me cash flow, like $300 a month in cash flow. So I needed to do a lot of more work to get that done. So I went for a job, and the job was out of town, about 5 hours away. So I said, well, and then somebody called me and said, okay, well, you want to sell your apartment building? I said, yeah. So sold it, made a little bit of money and got that taken care of. And then after that, all the other cities that I was in, like I was in Toronto, then I moved to San Francisco and San Francisco Bay Area. And I tried to find like real estate that makes sense, that cash flowed. And it's just like, I couldn't find it. I mean, you can find something that cash flows in San Francisco Bay Area, as long as you put a lot of cash in. But then your return on cash is like nothing. It's, you might as well be buying treasury bills or bonds, and then, which you don't want to.
No, just muni bonds. But I want muni bonds in my retirement years when I have double tax-free income, and that's kind of a ways away. And guys, what you're hearing Eric say is that you need to pay attention to the numbers when you're buying real estate. And I know that this is hard when you maybe have a full-time job or you're a full-time realtor, and you don't do this all the time, but you need to know the cash on cash return. If you don't know how to calculate that number, get yourself into some kind of an investor boot camp and learn the formulas. Get familiar with where the cash can go and what happens from a tax standpoint, because you got to have a tax attorney to help you figure out where this lands in our tax code. Because in the US, we currently have over 70,000 pages of tax code. And when you're buying real estate, you need to know the difference in active losses and passive losses, because if you don't have a license for real estate, there are certain things you can and can't do as write-offs. You need to know all these things. But then you also realize sometimes in your market, like you just described, if you land somewhere very expensive like the Bay Area, the numbers may not make sense, which is why investing sometimes takes place outside of where you live and work. So where did you choose to look for real estate when the Bay Area numbers just weren't that attractive?
So the other option after that was to invest in Fresno, which is about like 3 hours away. And I don't like driving that much. So I said, there's no way I'm going there. So I'm investing there. And really, it took a while. I decided to do other kinds of businesses to do cash flow. Like I had a gourmet sauce company at one point. I had other things and wild stuff. And then basically like 6 years ago, one of my son came to me and said, hey, you know, I want to do real estate investing and all of that. And I was just like, okay, how does that happen? That's not, I know.
And then everything we do.
Yeah, exactly. So then we got into that again. But at that time we had technology. So we had the iPhone was there. You could FaceTime. You had the digital signature. You had all that stuff was in place. Something that in the old days, you had to fly there and then you have like FedEx packages, everything and all of that kind of stuff. We still do that sometime today, but at least it was much easier to communicate with people on the field and then say, okay, well, should I buy this property? And then he would literally walk us through with FaceTime and just like, so that was the technology piece was very important for us to be able to do that. And I think now this enables everybody to basically look beyond their normal boundary for investing in real estate and find real estate properties that really meet their investment criteria in terms of numbers, the kind of returns that they're looking for. And so then we started to say, okay, well, what market do we want? So we said, we want to have a place that's landlord friendly. So already California's out. We want to have good growth, population growth, good GDP growth. We have low unemployment. We want to have, and then we started putting these things together. And long story short, we ended up in Memphis and Cleveland and St. Louis. So that's the other one that we looked at. And we bought our first house in Memphis. We started working with a realtor there that had a property management company and was able to connect us with a contractor. We bought a distressed property. I think we paid $40,000, put $5,000 or $10,000 in there and basically rented it for, I think it was $750 or something like that, cash flowing $300 a month. It was like unbelievable. And for people that live in the, I don't know if people are familiar with the California market, but $50,000 in on a property that doesn't even cover your down payment here for a house. So that's how much you pay in taxes.
If you're lucky, right? I mean, that's going to change here soon. And then you have the tenant-landlord situations. You brought up a really great point because in each state, there's different tenant-landlord laws, and that can have a major effect on your investment. And it's not just during a pandemic when the CDC is making massive overreach, anti-constitutional steps that are basically handcuffing property owners for nothing that they've done wrong and potentially for tenants who have had no risk at all. And that creates a good set of questions to add to your unemployment rate and to what's happening in an area. So I'm curious, and I'm going to not intended to go wildly political here, but I'm very curious because you mentioned St. Louis, which has always been a fairly steady middle of the country, good sized market. But they've done a massive amount of defunding the police and their crime is spiking. So are you taking things like that into account when you're buying investment properties? Does that drive into your decision making?
Yeah. We do look at, I mean, once we get to the high level, then we kind of like dig down into the specific neighborhoods of where we want to invest and all of that, definitely. And then our realtor on the ground and the team on the ground, they're the one that are really steering us into, okay, well, you want to be here, you want to be there.
And well, they're not really steering. That's a bad word in real estate. They're providing options, right? They're finding.
Yes, that's correct. This is, steering is a very bad word. In
a very bad word, but I can already tell what they're doing is finding ideas for you and bringing you.
Exactly. I mean, they're basically, saying, well, you want to, this is a very good area. This is up and coming. They can see some changes and some other investors going in there. So they can provide options and then information that we don't normally see with the numbers. So the data we see is like a year old or 2 years old sometimes. So they're the one that they see it real life, what's happening, what's on the ground, and then where we want to go.
So how do you interview realtors in these markets? You're not from there. There's thousands and thousands of options. What's your criteria for picking a professional?
Well, the number one criteria is that they respond. So that's the number one criteria. My son called like 100 realtors, like not kidding, because I was working full time. So he was the one on the phone and then calling realtors and all of that. And out of 100 realtors, 3 of them responded.
Three.
And then out of the 3, then like really only one of them was responding fast enough and in a timely manner, like within 24 hours at least. But really the one that we picked, like he was responding within like an hour or two. And that's the person we wanted. We wanted somebody that was obviously understood how to work with an investor.
Well, that was part of my question. Like, do you pick realtors that are investors themselves, or how do you gauge that they know what they're doing? Because I'll try to say this nicely. In real estate, there's plenty of realtors that will absolutely say they know investments, but they don't know diddly squat. They're lying because they need to have the business. So how do you sort through and establish that somebody actually knows what they're talking about?
Yes. I mean, you basically have them kind of give you some opportunities. What are some of the opportunities that they see? And it's pretty obvious at the beginning. They say, well, you can buy it for this price. This is roughly, they look at the properties and they're going to say, oh, you know, this is how much renovations I think is needed. Have an idea. Obviously, they're not going to do a rehab. They're not going to want doing the rehab bid, obviously, but at least have a sense that is it going to be $5,000, $10,000, $25,000 or $50,000? And so kind of a ballpark, if this is something that we can work with. And then also the after repair value. What is that going to look like on the other end in terms of refinancing for us at reselling eventually? And then what kind of rent we can get? So putting the whole package together and say, hey, this is the opportunity in front of you. And this is kind of like the return. If you do this, this is what you can sell it for. This is what you can refinance and understand how that works. Obviously, a realtor that invests himself is a good idea because they know exactly what you're looking for.
And by the way, friends, Eric, thank you for not using acronyms, because in investing, you'll see that phrase ARV all the time. And that's the after repair value. Your bank may request that if you're doing financing. But if you're a realtor, the buyer may be asking you that because they're trying to make a comparison for how much of a spread exists based on what they're going to require for repairs and what their margin is for investment equity if they're doing some kind of a flip or even a hold where they want to hold it with a certain amount of equity in it based on the market conditions. Okay, So Eric, in my show, we like some stories. So I've got to ask you, in all your years of doing real estate and now your second generation of doing real estate with your son, you're going to have to tell us the craziest thing that you've encountered that you still can't believe you encountered it and it was not something you expected. So do tell.
So one of the things that we do at my company, Martell Turnkey, is that now we flip, like we sell turnkey rental properties to investors who want to build passive income. And in the days, like we have to deal with new contractors that we don't know exactly they're going to fit and all of that. So we sent one contractor over to a house and just to try him out and all of that. It was recommended by a property management company. And then he goes in there and does the renovation and have it like finished, what he considered finished. And they had the craziest bathroom in there that I have ever seen. And they had basically a huge like stage. And then on top of that stage, they had the toilet on top of that stage and then with a low ceiling. And it was just like, why as a contractor, didn't you see that this thing, you saw that this thing would actually fly? So that was the craziest rehab I've ever seen. It's just like not being in line with what we had done. We had shown him other properties that we have done and all of that. And then you're just like completely off in the deep end with this property. We still laugh at that today.
That's got to be the hardest thing to find right now, though, is a contractor who will A, do a bid, B, show up, and C, complete a job correctly, because the labor market is so tight right now.
Yeah.
So what did you do with this contractor? Did you have him corrected or did you hire somebody else to make it right? Because
no, we have him corrected. Yeah, absolutely.
But if you have a toilet like this, you're not going to be able to rent that or sell that, either one.
Yeah, because on the ordinance, they're very short people and they like to be front and center.
Like, hello, here I
look
am.
At me.
Well, that's society right now. So maybe there's a whole Instagram thing here.
Maybe. So, I mean, we work with our realtor, our team. I mean, once we identified the people we want to work with, even that contractor, we said, okay, well, let's correct this. This is more like what we're looking for and all of that. So we don't immediately kind of like, oh yeah, you're an idiot. We move on to somebody else. We coach people. We say, okay, well, this, you know, see this? No, we don't do this. So that's, you know, we coach them. We make sure that they know what we're looking for so that the next house that they go into, then they have a better idea. And as you mentioned, with the labor shortage and stuff, so it's even more important now to keep a good relationship with your contractors. We do a lot of houses. So we do 10 houses per month. We have about like close to 90 projects right now at different stages of renovations and stuff. So it's important. We have a lot of crews out there and then they know that the work is coming. So having the good relationship, they don't have to look for work. They don't have to look for another client. They have us, they're going to get a house. And then if they do a good job, so it's kind of like, oh, I don't have to do marketing. I can just do right. renovation, which is what I wanted to do in the first place. So now we're providing them job
partners. If your realtors do a great job, they're going to have continual opportunities to bring you houses and buildings. But if they stop performing, then that's when you would have to go replace them. So it's a reminder to stay consistent and keep the communication flowing. So you mentioned, of course, coaching. So do you provide coaching to other investors that are looking to get started in the business? And tell us about what your offering is at Martell.
Well, so there's a couple of things. So I have a book, Stop Trading Your Time for Money. So that's probably the entry point. I talk about mindset. I talk about kind of like finding a strategy really to invest in real estate and then giving you some of these more like the skills that you need, understanding your P&L, understanding your balance sheet, understanding performance. Like we talked about cash on cash return, for example. And then hopefully by the end of the book, you're able to do one or two transactions with that and then kind of get started. I offer coaching from that. I mean, if you want to do coaching with somebody else that you really trust, that you know already, I mean, this is even better. But if you want me to coach you, I do have a coaching program as well. And I work with some real estate investors to help them get started to achieve financial freedom. I think the number one goal for everybody should be financial freedom. Especially for a realtor, I think you want to use the passive income from turnkey rentals to kind of smooth out the income, the ups and downs of you getting a big commission and then you don't want to spend it all. You want to kind of like smooth it out, use part of it, invest in real estate. And then when you have 2 or 3 months where you don't have commission, you can get your passive income actually to smooth out the rest of it. And of course, there's a legacy component to that as well.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's always amazed me how many people practice real estate every day and for decades and decades, and they never take the risk of buying something that they know is a good deal because an experienced realtor knows the market, knows when something is correctly priced or even aggressively priced. They know where the good rentals are in the good school districts. They just forget to invest in themselves. So guys, get yourself some education, pick up this book and teach yourself the numbers and then go do something. And if you screw up, you can recover because that's part of the American way is that if you fall flat on your face, you can go wait tables and get your money back and then you can start again because if you don't take the risk, the rewards are pretty much not going to come your way. And that's why there's a massive gap between those who are super successful and those who are very comfortable in their 9-to-5. Neither one's wrong. But if you're going to get here, you have to take the risk. So Eric, tell people how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more, pick up your book, get some more ideas from your willingness to share.
And the other thing too that I want to mention too is that we help them also to build that passive income portfolio with Martell Turnkey. So we have turnkey rental properties that are readily available and we walk them through the whole process as well. So the best place to reach me is on Instagram, E_Martell. You can also reach me on Facebook at eric.martell.ca. And my book, obviously, and I have my website, which is martelleric.com, where you can see all the different. I also have a Breakaway from the Rat Race YouTube channel and all of that. So you can see all of that.
And don't worry, all of those links, all of Eric's social handles and everything will be in the show notes for this episode. So you can go click, follow, purchase, ask questions, and learn, because that's what we have to do if we want to have anything different change in our life. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us some insights into your background and history. And tell your son we wish him all success in being the next generation of Martell succeeding in real estate.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Lee.
All right, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, you know you need to give me 5 stars, maybe a comment, a click, a like, and then if you want to be on the show, you should hit me up on social media. Until then, we'll see you next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.